It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I am Tony Colombo in studio this week with producer Anton, because producer Leah is at the Taylor Swift concert in Kansas City. And, of course, my partner is Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Yeah, did you know? We knew that Leah was out. Did you know that that's where she was?
No, I didn't know that's where she was.
She is at the Taylor Swift show. She's one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
I like her music. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. We were, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this on Colombo and Katie earlier this week as well. You know, it's not for us. Certainly, we're not the target demographic for Taylor Swift, but I certainly appreciate the fact that there are almost no pop stars today that write their own music and can actually play instruments. Taylor Swift is a musician. She writes her own music. She plays piano. She plays guitar. So I'd rather her be the one that's getting all this success than some...
Yeah, you don't see that as much as you used to.
No.
You know, that's what always amazed me. I was a big Jethro Tull fan, and Ian Anderson, he basically could play, you know, 50 different instruments and wrote all their songs, and you know, just I always thought that was cool.
Yeah, I love that. And I don't know what it is. Every generation has people like this, but you know, there's lots of great musicians out there, but Taylor Swift has found the secret formula. And it's just like, it's crazy. People are spending thousands of dollars to get these tickets. They're traveling all over the place. If they're not coming to town, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, it was pathetic, but was tweeting at her, telling her to come to Canada on her tour. Like, whatever she's got, whatever formula she has discovered, it's a gold mine.
Yeah, because it crosses generations. You know, she appeals to a wide spectrum, you know. Young people, middle-aged, older people.
Yep,
it's
true.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra does that, too. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah,
But, I mean, when you go to their concerts, you'll have people there from 10 to 90.
I'll tell you what. That might be... I've talked about, like, the best possible jobs on planet Earth to have. Like, with the situation with the Wheel of Fortune, you know, Pat Sajak's leaving, and it's going to be Ryan Seacrest, like... Hosting that, like being the host of the Wheel of Fortune, like that is what a gig. Like it pays millions of dollars. You don't
not too rough.
Yeah, exactly. I always said being the bullpen catcher on a Major League Baseball team, you're just the bullpen catcher. You're making six figures, but you don't have the pressure of perform like that. Like that's a great gig. And Trans-Siberian Orchestra play. For 6 weeks, 2 months at the end of every year.
Yep.
You sell out every arena you go to. And I know that they put those shows together. And I know there's a lot of work that goes into them all year. But what a great gig. You work hard for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks at the end of the year every year. And you're making hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars. Like that's a sweet deal.
Yep. And everybody should go see that once if they haven't.
Yeah. It's cool. My daughter's a violin player. So,
That's what makes it cool. It's just they got so many sounds.
Yeah. You know. She has been a couple times and loves to see that stuff. All right. A little different start of the show here this week on the Bluff City Outdoor Show. You never know what you're going to get. You're usually going to get fishing and hunting and camping and all of that. But, you know, sometimes you're going to get Taylor Swift talk. It's just how it goes. Thank you so much for being with us again this week. Of course, we will have for you, speaking of fishing, full swing. We were down at the lake last weekend. A lot of people out on the water, 4th of July weekend. We were doing some fishing, so a lot of other guys out there. Great time to be out on the water. Got some cool stories to tell you. Got a great guest coming up, Mika Burkhart. He is a catfish record holder in Tennessee. He was the blue cat, correct? He was the blue cat.
Yep. He held the,
and then he broke his own record.
Breaking his own record,
yeah.
From what I understand.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we'll talk to him in a few minutes. Of course, we'll also bring you the fishing report at the end of the show, like we do each and every week. And I want to get into some of the local news in a minute, but first, just want to check in with everything happening in out on the water and this time of year. It's a great time to be at Bluff City Outdoors. What's going on at the shop?
It's staying pretty busy. You know, we had a holiday weekend last weekend. Everybody was getting out, and the fishing's good, and really the weather hasn't been horrible. I mean, get hit with some storms, but
right.
It's not oppressive hot.
Yeah,
a few hot,
yeah.
Sticky days, and then
we had
back
some
off.
Beautiful days this past week.
Yeah, we're supposed to have this coming weekend. Supposed
yeah.
to be really nice.
Yeah, depending
too.
On when you're listening to this, if you're listening on the radio, not listening to the podcast, we air this show on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sundays at noon. If it's Saturday at 11, it might be raining. If it's Sunday at noon, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this show on Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday is the day of the weekend. It's supposed to be gorgeous Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah. So hopefully another day that people can get out and take advantage
Starting
of that
Starting to
weather.
See an uptick in the archery traffic, too. This
oh,
week.
Yeah.
People really, the last 3 weeks have picked up pretty good.
Yeah, it's prep time, right? Everybody's getting ready for
Yeah, everybody's starting to get ready, dropping bows and crossbows off for new strings and getting them tuned and all that good stuff. And we're going to add some lights to the archery range. Wanted to light it up a little bit better.
That's cool.
So we got the lights, I think, came in this week. So we'll hopefully get them up here this coming week.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I would imagine that part of the prep for the season is also shooting
yep.
in the range. Like, yeah, that's another great thing about Bluff City Outdoors and something that is relatively new. That expansion out of Bluff City just went in, about a year ago now?
Yeah, we're coming up on our 1 year.
Yeah.
Our 1 year grand opening was, I think, September 17th yeah. of last year.
So there hasn't been very many seasons in the past where you've been able to take advantage of not only the bow techs out at Bluff City Outdoors and get your equipment ready, but you can also fine tune your eyeballs.
Yep.
and
there's part
and
of that,
shoot.
You know, it's
yeah.
kind of, muscle memory type stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of, what are you looking at there? If you are somebody that needs to get strings replaced or the bow tuned up, what's the process? Is it you leave it at Bluff City for?
Yeah, you leave it there with an arrow, then they take the all of your measurements and stuff, and then they'll get the string ordered. We do offer a custom string from Scott Rushton, and then we also use First Strings strings and. They just drop it off. They fill out the form.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about a week to get the string made if you're doing a custom one. That way you get to pick your colors of the string
yeah,
and stuff.
That's cool.
And a lot of people like that. And then you come in, and Jeff or Seth, to get it set up. They'll have it mostly tuned by the time you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finish tuning it and make sure you're shooting straight
yeah.
before you go out the door.
Yeah, get you dialed in. That's fantastic. Leagues are starting to get you signed up for leagues coming up,
yep.
right,
yep.
also?
Yep, contact us about leagues. We're getting ready to start them. We're just kind of waiting on the Reinhardt 25 targets I ordered to get in.
Yeah.
So.
Man, cool stuff, exciting stuff. It's crazy that we're already talking about hunting season and things like that, but this is the time of year to make sure that your gear is ready to go, you got everything you need, and you're all stocked up and prepped and ready for when hunting season does get here. So Bluff City Outdoors is the place to go, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alton. Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook is probably also the best place to keep up with everything that's happening at the shop. And then, yeah, I imagine, so we're going to talk to Mika Burkhart, as I mentioned. He's the Blue Cat record holder in Tennessee, in the state of Tennessee. He just broke his own state record there. So looking forward to that. Every time we talk to one of these guys that has, caught a record fish or, a big fish, a newsworthy fish, there's always a story.
Yep.
There's always
yep.
a story, a unique, cool story behind it. So I can't wait to hear that. And
what I want to find out from him is that, because he just recently had Mad Cats, it's a rod catfish rod company mm-hmm. based there in, I think, South Carolina. They did a signature rod for him.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'd be curious to see if he was using that rod, his own signature series rod, when he caught this record fish.
Yeah, so yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Talk about great promotion for it.
Yeah.
Some great marketing if he was. Yeah. You know there's going to be a story there, and I can't wait to hear it because there always is. And this will probably be hitting some of the headlines, some of the newspapers in town any day now, but we've been talking about this all year.
Yep.
We've been waiting for a three-figure catfish to be caught in the Mississippi or the Missouri or Illinois River in our area.
Tyler Moses caught, I think it was the guys he was guiding caught one this week.
Yeah, so.
109-pound
catfish caught. And so this is what, it's about one, I mean, we've been seeing fish like this caught once a year.
Oh yeah.
Consistently.
I mean, you almost... I think if you got everybody to report them, there'd probably be five or six that are over 100 caught every year.
Why would you not report it?
If I caught some people like keeping things low key.
If I caught a 100-pound fish, I'd tell everybody.
Yeah, I would too.
Everybody.
There are some people that catch them and they just
don't want to give up the location
spot
and the spots and things like that. Yeah.
Some people don't want publicity.
Yeah, but if Tyler caught it, talk about publicity or marketing. For your guide service.
Yep.
If he had
gotten,
if he was taking people out on a guided fishing tour and caught this fish during that, I mean, geez.
Yes.
What a great, it goes to show you that those guys know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
And there's several great ones in our
He's
area.
One of Ryan Casey's guys.
Yeah. There's several great guides that can take you out there on the water. You know, I've talked before about my personal experience. I'm very comfortable on a lake or even on a smaller river fishing, and you know, but I'm out there typically fishing for bass or crappie. I don't have a lot of experience or certainly a lot of confidence on a big river like the Mississippi or the Missouri River. So go out to Bluff City Outdoors and get hooked up with one of those guides, and you can learn a lot.
Yeah, it cuts years if you're going to be somebody that's going to get into catching those fish. It literally cuts years out of the learning curve for you.
Yeah.
You know, you get a jump start.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get him on to talk about that fish.
Yeah, okay.
In the let's next couple weeks, because I'd love to hear that. I'm sure there's a story behind that as well, because it'll be interesting to hear if this was a fish that he had been tracking, because as we know, you know, sometimes you're kind of on it, and you know that this fish exists in a certain area or whatever, and they're chasing that one fish for weeks, and then... And I think that's the more typical way that this happens. But of course, there are just the times where they're just magic.
They come through.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love to hear if what the story behind that one was as well. And I bet usually anytime we get the 100-pound fish caught in our area, it makes it into the news headlines. So you heard it here first, and you'll probably be seeing it. You'll probably be seeing it
on the
press, headlines. Yeah, very, very soon. And hopefully we'll get that story for you. All right, like I said, we'll bring you also the fishing report a little bit later on. If you are getting out on the water this weekend or anytime soon, we will be able to help you with that. We cover all the major bodies of water in Missouri and Illinois every week on our fishing report. So we will do that for you a little bit later on in the show. And we are going to talk to Mika Burkhart. He is the blue catfish record holder in the state of Tennessee who recently broke his own record. And we'll talk to him about that and get that story and talk a little bit more fishing with Mika Burkhart in just a moment here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. And welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Anton in for Leah this week. And, of course, my partner is Mark McMurray, owner of Bluff City Outdoors. And as we mentioned, joining us on the line now is Mika Burkhart. He is the current. He's been the blue catfish record holder in the state of Tennessee for a while and has recently broke his own record.
I think he won 122 something.
And he is on the line with us now. And I am, as I mentioned before, whenever we have guys on that have set a record catching a fish or have made headlines with a big fish, there's always There's always cool stories behind these catches, and really happy to have Micah Burkhart on the line with us. Micah, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. So let's start with that. What was the official weight of this fish that you caught, and what was the previous record that was also yours?
this one officially weighed 123 or 122.3. I'm sorry, and broke my previous record of 118.
Dang, that is incredible.
That is incredible.
That is it. That is awesome. So, we just had a fish. So, in our area, you know, we're right on the Mississippi. We're at the confluence here, Mississippi River, Missouri River, Illinois River. So we're used to seeing these big fish caught, and usually, at least once a year, there's a story in the paper about a catfish being caught in the triple digits. And that recently, that just happened this past week here as well with a 109-pound fish. And as I just said, there's always a story behind it. Sometimes it's a fish that you are sort of tracking for a very long time and you know it's there. And it's this, you know, it's this whole thing about tracking it down and finally catching it. And then sometimes there's just...
The magic happens,
and you hook up with a monster. What was the experience with this fish, the 122-pound record?
Well, I apologize. I don't have a more elaborate story to tell you as far as that goes, but it's really no big secret the spot that I was fishing in, because it's just one of the deeper spots of the river that everybody fishes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I guess the fortunate thing about it is out of the amount of people that fish that spot, I was the lucky one to catch the big one out of it. It's like you said, it's not really a big story as far as that goes, but it was a lot of fun fishing, because I'll tell you how hard it is. I had to go out on a Wednesday to fish this spot. That's how many people fish it.
Wow.
So I had to go midweek, where I knew everybody would hopefully be at work and I could have it to myself.
Well, something tells me that you're doing something different than the others. If you had the record before and you just set the record again, if so many people are hitting that spot, it sounds like you're doing something right. And I certainly don't want to give up any of your secrets, but what goes into looking for that big fish for you? What is this, some of that preparation that goes into trying to land one of these monsters?
I've been catfishing probably, you asked my dad, ever since I could walk. And it's just learning the fish. It's learning your body's water, learning the patterns of the fish. And then I always know that after post spawn, which, you know, where I'm at in Tennessee, we're currently in, and a lot of people that probably listen to you guys probably, you know, agree with me, is they just, all they want to do is eat, you know, but they want to use minimal effort to eat, because they come off a real hard spawn. And, so if they can find a place that's full of bait and they can sit there, and that's where typically I target bigger fish, whether it be deep holes in the river, big channel swings, stuff like that. Now, the one thing that I do a little bit different, I think is a little unorthodox, and I don't know if a lot of you guys or a lot of your listeners, they drag planer boards for catfish, which I'm sure they do in that area. I go really, really slow. I mean, it's really, really slow. It takes a long time for me to to drag a 100-yard stretch, but it's kind of like bottom fishing, but at a very slow pace that I creep the baits along the bottom. So I think for me, it definitely presents my bait a lot longer, we'll say, in that bite window for that fish. And I think it's one of the things I do a little bit different than most people.
Yeah. And that's super interesting, because, like, Mark, you would know maybe better than I would. You work with a lot of the guides that we were just talking about, the 109-pound fish caught this week with
Tyler.
Yeah, with Tyler, that is one of the guides that you work with there at Bluff City Outdoors. I imagine that every guide has their own sort of system that they're confident in, but I wonder how much that changes. Like, if I'm fishing for bass, which is what that's my go-to, mm-hmm. I take the same approach pretty much on any lake that I'm in, but I wonder if there's a big difference between fishing for a catfish in Tennessee as there is in Missouri, or if it's just as if there's some universal.
There definitely is some universal, but I mean, there's areas that are, you know, got, hey, I have to do this here, you know, because of the way the river's built and, you know, what's out there. So you have to kind of tailor it to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, there's in, you know, with water levels changing, you're constantly having to adjust to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, here where it's super low.
What do you think about that, Micah? Is there a lot of similarities, or is it really like a case by case situation depending on the body of water?
There's most definitely differences between the bodies of water, but I would think that you, no matter where you go, you'll probably want to start off with what you're confident with, you know, and let the, I guess, let the fish and let the water kind of tell you what you need to do different. Cause I have fished a little bit in Missouri, up towards where, Fort Leonard Wood and stuff like that, mainly the Osage River. And that's completely different. I don't know why it is, but because that water fluctuates so much, I think is the biggest reason. So the fish are a little bit harder to, I guess, pattern in any given day. Now, if you go up on the lake side, it's a little bit easier. Cause you know, that water level pretty much stays relatively the same. But yeah, I would say it's like, you know, y'all are right. There is some similarities, but you know, you just kind of let the fish tell you what they are, and you'd be able to tell that, you know, depending on if you're fishing, you know, pre-fishing for a tournament or something like that, you would have a few days, you know, to figure something out. So yeah, I would say there's similarities, but you just have to let the fish kind of tell you what they want. Cause the way I fish the Cumberland River, you know, it's even different when I go to the Tennessee River, which is, for me, it's only another 20 minutes away. So
yeah, we're talking to Micah Burkhardt. He just set the Tennessee state record for blue cat, broke his own record with 122 pounder, breaking the 118 pound record. And you mentioned about the that particular spot. It's kind of a honey hole that has the word is out, and there's a lot of traffic in that area. This is another thing, Micah, that we've talked a lot about on this show, especially in our area with Mark and Bluff City. And the Alton Catfish Classic, which has turned into a massive tournament that happens every year in September here in our area. You know, Bass Masters and that sort of stuff has been on television, and, you know, bass fishing on, you know, TV on Saturday mornings has been around forever. But we are seeing, at least in our area, we're seeing, you know, more and more people, you know, getting into catfishing and getting into walleye and other, you know, other species. Have you seen that in your area as well? Like just more and more people, the communities of all of fishing in general across the board, not just, you know, for bass or whatever, growing in recent years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'd say the last 10 years, I've seen a huge increase in, you know, of course, bass fishing it's blew up, and around my area. Cause like I said, we got Kentucky Lake, and then of course we got the Barkley Reservoir just north of us. And catfishing, which I kind of like to see, because catfishing has always been kind of like a lost sport, you know, kind of not up there on par with the rest of the elite trails and stuff like that. So I'm kind of glad to see that. Of course, you know, as anybody does, along with that, you get pressure on fish, and you know, it's either good or bad depending on, you know, how ethical fishermen are. That's kind of the downside of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, there is definitely good and bad. There's, you know, more people being involved in the industry. You know, it increases the industry. It introduces people to a great sport. But yeah, there's positives and negatives that certainly come along with it. And before we run out of time with Micah, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, just that experience. And I know of actually catching and fighting and getting a fish that big in. And I know, obviously, the gear has a lot to do with that.
Yep.
Mark,
you guys have the right gear.
Yeah, you guys carry Mad Cats out there at Bluff City Outdoors. And I know that Micah works with those guys as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Were you using your Signature Series rod?
I was, but the fish didn't hit it. He hit the new fins rod they had out.
That's pretty, but yeah, so, but the Mad Cats rods, I mean, they're one of the
very, very popular.
The premier ones to be using if this is what they're
a nice rod, and I mean, and they make so many colors. It's hard to keep track of them all, but they make a good rod. And so,
Micah, tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about the gear that goes into this, and then just that experience of fighting a fish that size and, you know, getting in the boat. Because like you said, I agree with you. Like, it is kind of a lost sport, because as much as I love bass fishing and hooking a big, you know, hooking a big bass and that fight, you know, getting them into the boat, I can't imagine the thrill and the adrenaline and what it's like to reel in a 100-pound catfish. So just talk about that a little bit of that experience and kind of what it's like to fight a fish like that.
Well, I'll tell you, because I was actually on I fished a few different bass fishing trails for about 8 years, and then, you know, kind of got out of it a little bit, then went back to catfishing, you know, mainly now. But I'll tell you, I've caught a lot of, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, some possible 80s. I wish I'd had a scale to prove that, but I didn't. But anyway, catching the, you know, 100-pound fish, you know, about the first 10, 15 minutes, it's a lot of fun. when you start rolling into, you know, 20, 30, 35, 40 Ooh. Minutes, it's just, I honestly, if it wasn't for pure adrenaline, the pain would overtake, you know, and I'm sure I've talked to some people that have broken state records across the country, you know, doing that same thing. And they'll say the same story, because it does. It's kind of like, it's your will against theirs, you know, at that
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
So,
and there's got to be nothing like it. There's nothing that compares to that. Is there?
No, and we're talking, we could even go about to, you know, sport fishing in the ocean and stuff like that. You know, it's all the same, kind of the same deal, because you're, in a sense, you're kind of almost outgunned in a way, because you're trying to pull them out of their element and they're trying to pull you into their element. So, it's tough. It really is tough. But it's, you know, once it's all said and done, and, you know, especially with this last fish, the hardest part about this last fish is I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, you know, do everything by myself. And, you know, of course, since the last record, I've been filming all my fishing trips, which, you know, of course, helps my YouTube channel and stuff. And so I was thankful enough I was able to get the whole thing on video from the time I caught it, time I landed it, to the time we, you know, got it certified, and then the time I released it back into the water. So that helped out a lot. But, yeah, you could definitely tell in that video. I mean, you know, of course, nerves, and you're happy, you're nervous, you know, shaking, and, you know, all that stuff. And it was a lot of fun. And then, of course, the whole time I'm going like, well, now what do I do? Because I've caught some big fish, you know, but I've always had help.
Right.
You know, somebody to hold the rod or somebody the net, you know, something. I was by myself, and I was like, oh, my God. And we had about a 2-mile-an-hour current that day, so that made it even more worse. So, it was an experience. I'll guarantee you that.
How worried are you about losing the fish in that long of a, is there a moment or a feeling that you're like, this thing is hooked up, I'm not going to lose it, I just got to get through this? Or is it, how, you know, a 45 minute panic of, you know, not only am I fighting this big fish, but I could lose it in any second? What's that feel
well,
like?
Well, okay. Yeah. So absolutely. Because and we all got the same story, you know, where you feel him, you know, it's a monster, you know, he's pulling and all this stuff, and he pops off. Well, I mean, luckily that didn't happen. So the first time he surfaced, you know, it was one of the many times I tried to net him. But the first time he surfaced, I noticed that the hook was at the corner of his mouth. It was in the most perfect spot you could ever hook a catfish. So, especially one that big. So I was relieved at that point. Now I was just worried about, okay, now what kind of damage was done to my line? You know, how much more, you know, it's just, you still got that, but I always pay attention to that hook. And if I can see the hook, one, that's good. And two, if I can see, you know, the barb poking out the other side, that's even better.
Yeah, that's gotta be something. How long did it take? How long did it take to get this one in the boat?
This one was 45 minutes, about 45, 50 minutes. Yeah.
Yep. That's incredible.
It's a good video.
I mean, I could have had him, if I had help, I could have had him netted in probably like 30 minutes, but you know,
yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. There's gotta be something cool about catching it by yourself, but yeah, also creates a whole lot of other problems along the way.
Yeah,
but once it's all said and done, there's probably a little extra,
satisfaction
from landing that fish. Micah, almost out of time. Really would like to have you back on the show sometime soon. I'm sure there's a lot of other stories that we could get into. But in the meantime, you mentioned your YouTube channel. Tell us about your YouTube channel and anywhere else that people can, you know, keep up with you and you know, the teams that you work with and all those things.
Okay, yeah. So my YouTube and my Facebook both can be found if you just search my name, Micah Burkhart. The first name is M-I-C-K-A. They can find me on YouTube and Facebook. I got a lot of good little videos on YouTube that I've been asked to make, you know, as far as my, you know, what I do, my gear setup and all that stuff. I definitely want to, you know, give a big shout out to Mad Cats. They're out of Rockingham, North Carolina, and Matt Knight and the boys there, they've really taken care of me since day one. I mean, it's not even before I caught the first state record, and then it's just been an awesome ride since then. And I like to, you know, make sure they get recognized because they've been a big help to all this.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's great. That's great to hear. And as we mentioned, you can get all that Mad Cats gear at Bluff City Outdoors.
Yeah, we carry Mad Cats down there.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you going to come up and fish the Alton Catfish Classic?
I actually, you ain't the first one to offer me to come up there. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
I'll have to check it out for sure.
Second Saturday in September. 20,000 for first place.
Yeah, 20,000 for first place. And
still got like about 10 boat entries left.
Yeah, about 10 spots left in that tournament.
Oh, wow. So
Matt to sponsor your boat.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's that sounds like a conversation to have then.
Yeah, I think you ought to talk to him about that.
As an outsider looking in, as somebody who has been on the outside, but you know, helping out, doing some of the MC work there at the tournaments over the years. That Alton Catfish Classic, what Mark and his team at Bluff City have put together and grown, has become one of the biggest catfish tournaments in the country.
Yep.
Certainly in the Midwest, and it guys come in from all over the country and fish every year.
I know one of these years we're going to have that three fish 200 pounds. It's going to happen. They've done it here before, and it's definitely. I think 2 weeks later might make it a little easier, but you know, mm-hmm. we're tying it in with the expo and stuff.
We've had 90 plus pounds for the big fish. There have been 100 pounds.
Not in the tournament yet.
Not in the tournament yet, but I know there's been 90. So yeah, those two milestones are going to fall at some point.
At some point.
And it could be this year.
I may have to come up here and try my hand at it.
Let's go. Yeah, that'd be great. Great to see you. If you come down here, then if you come up here, you definitely got to be on the show again. But hopefully we can get you back on before that, Mike. I really appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, great stuff there. Micah Burkhart. He is the...
I'd like to see him come up and, you know, fish it and... You know,
I bet some of the other guys in the tournament might not want him to be there.
Yeah, but. Probably don't. You know, it was that Grafton tournament, you know, 4 or 5 years ago where the first three, it was a five fish tournament limit, but the first three fish weighed in the 220s. Or might have been 230 something. They had two in the 80s and one in the 60s.
Yeah.
First three fish.
Oh, it's great stuff. That's great stuff. And yeah, I can't wait. You said you've seen the video of him catching the record.
Yeah, we watched it down at the shop last week.
And, I'm going to have to.
Let's get him on. It was a good video because he you could tell you about 20 minutes he's starting to get wore out.
Oh, yeah. And you know he doesn't yet, but you know he's only halfway through at that point. And when he gets that is that's great stuff. So make sure you are following Micah Burkhart on Facebook and YouTube. And I'm definitely going to be checking out that video very, very soon. All right. We need to get you this week's fishing report. So we will do that in just a moment. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo with my partner Mark McMurray in studio. Producer Anton is in for Leah this week as well. And great conversation. There's always a cool story when we talk to these guys that set records. We just got off the phone with Micah Burkhart down there in Tennessee. He just set the Blue Cat record, the state record in there in Tennessee. He broke his own record. This one was 122 pounds. Great, great conversation.
Yep.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great stuff. If you want to watch that video of him catching that fish, it took him 45 minutes to get it in the boat. You can watch that video on his YouTube, Micah Burkhart on YouTube, And also, if you missed that conversation and you don't want to, and you want to hear it and you don't want to miss anything that happens here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show, make sure you are subscribed to our podcast. We're going to have the fishing report here for you in just a moment. We bring you that fishing report each and every week. And I know a lot of guys like to use that every weekend as they are going out on the water. We cover all the major bodies of water in Missouri and Illinois every week on our fishing report. So it's a great thing to make sure you're checking out, and you'll never miss it if you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. We put it on just about every podcast platform there is. So whatever your favorite one is, Apple, Amazon, Google, Spotify, you just search the Bluff City Outdoors Show and you will find us. We put the show out as a podcast shortly after we get off the air each and every week. Also, quick reminder before we go into the fishing report, that not only is this a great time of the year to be out on the water fishing, it's a great time of year to be grilling. And next time you are out grilling, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood lump charcoal alongside. And actually, just now talking about this reminds me that I need a new bag. I have maybe enough charcoal for one more for one more meal. So I need to put that on my to-do list. Get a new bag of Rockwood lump charcoal. It is the best. Not only is Rockwood a great local small business, which is the kind of people that we love to support here, but it's also been ranked the number one consumer rated charcoal in the country 9 years running. So it is a superior product across the board. Rockwood lump charcoal, if you've never used lump charcoal before, it is just superior in every way to the traditional briquettes that you might be used to grilling with. You don't need nearly as much of it. So you are not, a lot of the stuff in the briquettes are just extra filler, extra chemicals that don't need to be there. And with Rockwood, you don't get that. So you don't need as much charcoal to cook your food. It also burns faster. It burns hotter. It gives you more control of the whole experience. It's just better across the board. So make sure you have a bag of Rockwood lump charcoal with you next time you are out grilling. You can find Rockwood at over 100 area stores. You can find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, that time of week again, Mark. Time for the fishing report. Take it away.
Yeah, let's get going. I'll go out to Truman Lake first with Jordan Lear. He's a guide and a buddy out there. Crappie are good. Fish 8 to 25 feet of water, 6 to 14 feet down. Fish standing timber on the main lake flats and the brush piles. Jigs and minnows are both working. Trolling 300, Bandit 300 crankbaits and number 7 flicker shads are also working well on the main lake flats. Catfish is good. Drifting the main lake flats and humps with 8 to 18 feet of water. Fish with fresh cut live shad or cut shad. Black bass are good. Fish the main lake points into brush piles. Throw a half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles from 8 to 20 feet deep. Square bill crankbaits, 10-inch plastic worms, Texas rigs, and brush hogs are working good. Topwater baits are working early morning and late in the evening. Spooks, whopper ploppers, and buzz baits. Walleye fair. Fish the main lake humps into points. Crawler harnesses and trolling crankbaits working on the shallow flats. Throw 3-inch pearl and chartreuse sliders on a quarter-ounce head are also working on the humps. White bass and hybrids. Fish the main lake humps and flats with live shad on a Carolina rig, 10 to 18 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Topwater bite has been decent early morning, late evening with Czar spooks. Can also cast in Charlie River 3-inch bass sliders on a quarter-inch jig head, and the flats and the humps are also working. Pearl and chartreuse are the favorite colors. Got the Mark Twain, Jason Kaiser with Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Water clarity is clear. Lake level is 603. That's 3 feet down from normal pool. Bass being caught anywhere from 5 to 20 feet deep right now. Soft plastics, big worms, and jigs are the player. Fish the main lake points and are also hit and miss right now. Brush is a key to finding the bite. Bite is slowing down as usual for this time of year. Crappie reports. Crappie are a bunch of smaller ones being caught in the brush, pole timber, and artificial structure. Have to catch a bunch of small 6 to 8 inches before you catch the 9 to 11 inch. Your minnows are working better than plastics right now. Catfish, the spawn is in and can be caught on cut shad on the mud flats. White bass are schooling up on the flats and the points. Swim baits and crankbaits are working well. Got the Carlisle with Eric Moore. He's on my pro staff. Carlisle lake level is 445.62, and the water temp is 78 to 80 degrees. Crappie bite remains a bit slow, but minnows and small hair jigs over the structure 8 to 10 feet of water have been producing. Catfish bite is very strong with many presentations and baits working well. White bass are starting to bite on the humps and the flats on crankbaits, but they're not on fire yet. Go down to Wren with Fred Mooney. He's a guide down there. Lake level is 406.6. Crappie bite is great. Deeper structure on the main lake is holding a lot of fish. The Army Corps fish tractors are also a great place to start looking for them. Orange, pink, and white combined with chartreuse has produced well this week. Catfish bite is also on fire. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey. Catfish are in the post spawn, are starting to feed real good again. Largemouth bass are active and feeding well and hitting on many baits and presentations, so just grab something you're confident with and start catching them. Hybrids and white bass are still scattered and not super concentrated, but are still catchable with some effort. Crappie bite is slow right now on minnows and small hair jigs, and they're working due to the abundance of the bait fry in the water right now. So kind of matching the hatch there. He mentioned small hair jigs twice. River cat fishing with Jason Schneiderhan. Water is gauge is 2.2 in St. Louis. Water temp's 82 degrees. Fishing's a little slow, but we did hear Tyler Morris caught the 109.
Mm-hmm.
And the skipjack fishing is slowed down, but you can still catch them on sabiki rigs. Shelbyville, go out to Matt England. Lake level is 600.06. Water temp is 79 to 80 degrees. Clarity, 12 to 18 inches. Crappie bite early is 4 to 9 feet of water, and you got to keep the bait still early, and then they'll start chasing it as the day moves on. It says man-made structures, the stumps, and the laydowns. Southern Illinois Lakes, Gabe Montgomery.
10 horse bounty.
Yeah. Kincaid water temps are mid-80s and clear. Look for the bass in the deep structure. Brush piles and stump are high percentages pieces to cover. Half-ounce, three-quarter-ounce football jigs will attract in these areas. Black and blue or some form of green pumpkin. Those are just, that's always a given.
Right.
Thermocline is starting to set up in most Southern Illinois Lakes. It said a dissolved oxygen content below the thermocline is depleted and it creates an environment non-conducive to fish sustainability. Target the cover that's slightly above that section of the water. If the thermocline is set 15 feet, look for cover that is 12 to 15 feet. So look at that concept anywhere. Lake of Egypt, mid-80s and clear. Bass continue to school. Look for surface activity while running down the lake or fishing. The bass will push the schools of shad up to the surface, and it will look like a mosh pit at a Pantera concert. That's pretty good. Always have a topwater bait locked and loaded. He said this happens fast. The fish will continue to come up to the surface in those same general locations from time to time.
Man,
remember the thermocline.
So many mosh pits back in the day.
Yeah. So that would change this. He just moves around the lake in that pattern. It said if the summer storm dumps some cold water in the lake, go to where the water drains in. Fish have an opportunity to move deeper, but only if the food source does. And on Crab Orchard, water temps in the high 80s and 3 feet visibility. Fish crab early or late. If you're brave enough to fish through the heat of the day, target shady areas with a frog or a wacky rig on a stick bait. Good luck and stay hydrated. First time a mosh pit's made it into the fish.
It is. It is. You ever been in a mosh pit?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. It was like, that was the thing when I was in my generation of alternative grunge music in the 90s. A lot of mosh pits.
I don't like people that much.
There's, you know, looking back. It was, some of it was a mistake. There's mosh pit etiquette though. Like there's a way to do it, and there's a you know, a jerk way to do it. That's a different show though. That's a different show. That's not this one. Wrap up here with the Lake of the Ozarks bass report from our buddy Mike Marfell. He says full on summer pattern deep brush 13 to 27 feet has been the most consistent bite. Brush on main lake and secondary points are the best when they are generating power, aka pulling water. Target these brush piles with a 12-ounce to 1-ounce jig, 10-inch to 12-inch Texas-rigged worm, or a deep-diving crankbait. Good top water bite early and late. Walking style been working best, as well as the big chug bug. It's still Lake of the Ozarks, so a shallow dock bite is always on the table, skipping a jig or tube around the last few docks in a creek or cove, or the one isolated dock always worth a shot to find old big, is what he puts in quotes there. Stay safe out there. Wear that life jacket and kill switch anytime you fire up the outboard. Be kind and courteous to everyone and assume those big boats do not see you, and give them a wide berth. So great stuff there from our buddy Mike Marfell. We mentioned Gabe Montgomery. He's one of the great contributors to our fishing report. You can also get great content. We talk about the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. You can also get great content from Mike Marfell and Gabe Montgomery on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel, something to definitely be checking out. Before we wrap things up here, Mark, I just wanted to touch base one more time. A couple things to keep in mind. Alton Catfish Classic is getting closer. There is still a few spots left, so if you want to get a boat in that, You can
go out to the bluffcitytackle.com. There's a link to, you can register there. You can call us at the shop.
Yeah.
Get hold of us anyway. We'll get you registered.
It's a great tournament. And if it's something you want to get involved in, you need to get your spot reserved ASAP because it's awesome stuff and there's not very many spots left. Also, as we touched on at the beginning of the show, this is a great time to prep for bow season, for the next archery season. And the place to do that, of course, also is Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois. So make sure you are checking them out. And it's always Bluff City Facebook page, I think, is the best place.
That's what I try to update the most.
Yeah, I agree. And we've mentioned our podcast, the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. You can also just get that off of the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. So you can whatever podcast platform you prefer, or if you just follow Bluff City on Facebook, you can get our podcast right there off the Facebook page each and every week. All right, that's going to do it for the Bluff City Outdoors Show this week. Big thank you to producer Anton for filling in for Leah this week, and for my partner, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.